It is a delight to be here. I've been looking forward to this for weeks. My name is Sylvia Ronsvale. I work at Empty Tomb. And I had written an introduction, which Debbie covered wonderfully. Nevertheless, I will mention that Rupert Downing does indeed serve on the board at Empty Tomb. We have full board meetings twice a year and then have executive committee meetings. At one of these, my husband John and I were talking with Rupert. The meeting was scheduled to start at 7 p.m. and we got into a conversation about some of Rupert's experiences. And the minutes read, the meeting was convened at 8:15. We just got carried away talking about some of these things. And after the conversation, John and I were talking and saying, this is so important for people to hear that we asked Rupert if he would consider speaking at a Christian family-to-family dinner. And so here we are, and we are also recording this for webcasting for posterity's sake, and I hope it will bless many people. In addition to serving on the board of directors at Empty Tomb, Rupert has a bachelor's in sociology and political science from Purdue University in Indiana. He has a master's of social work from the University of Illinois. He recently retired as an associate professor and director of field education at the University of Illinois School of Social Work. And there is, in fact, a scholarship there in his honor. And he's a member and elder in the First Church of God, Anderson, Indiana, in Champaign on Duncan Road. Services are what time tomorrow?
9:30 for Sunday school.
9:30 for Sunday school. All right, we'll put in a little plug there. Now, in addition, Rupert, we're going to start the interview. Rupert, you grew up in Hampton, Virginia, which is home of Langley Airfield, where Air Force One is based. It's also home to many military installations, and it's also home to Hampton University, one of the oldest black colleges in the United States. But when it came time to go to college, you chose to go to Purdue University. And what year was that?
I graduated in 1957.
All right. And how easy a time did you have at Purdue?
Well, getting to Purdue was an interesting experience. I had to take the college entrance board exams, and those were taken at the College of William and Mary, a very historic institution in Williamsburg, Virginia. The interesting aspect about that was that coming from a black high school, all of our students had to take the exam after white students had taken the exam. We could not sit for the exam in the same room. So that was a part of the journey of going to Purdue. Another aspect was my first meeting with my assigned advisor. The first comment to me after introductions was, why didn't you take the civil service exam and go work for the post office? We had met for the first time, and that seemed to set a tone. But I had been prepared for that by my teachers. They did a very good job of sharing their own personal experiences and motivated their students to anticipate things of that nature so that it did not come as a surprise, nor was it so traumatic that I would buy a ticket and leave. It was dealt with in a very forthright and direct manner, namely to change advisors.
And you mentioned that you had a number of excellent teachers at the school you went to in Hampton. Now, the school was all black.
Yes.
And it was located on the Hampton University
campus.
So you actually, it would be more the equivalent of a university lab high school. It would have been an excellent environment to go to school. And the teachers you had came, some of them came from the university. And they had been out in the real world. You referred to the training they gave you, but from this would have been throughout high school. What did they tell you about their own experiences?
Their own experiences were based on that system of segregation and separation, and they would share openly with the students that many of them had to go out of state to obtain graduate degrees. There were differential pay scales. That is, white teachers had one set of pay and black teachers had another, which was less. And so these things were openly shared with us. And the bottom line was that these types of events will happen. Don't let that disturb your focus. Keep focused on what it is you need to do and accomplish. The bottom line was, and it sounded a bit unusual, I know, but they said to us, you cannot be equal to. You must be better than. And that bit of exhortation stood me in good stead.
All right, when you went to Purdue, were there very many African-American men there at that time? This would have been 53 to 57?
With the exception of athletes in football and basketball, there were very few.
And African-American women?
At the time I entered, one.
Okay, so she had a great dating life, I'm sure. Her pick of the crowd. In addition to your advisor, psychology was also a challenge, wasn't it?
Yes, I was in a psychology class, and I like to sit on the front row in classrooms. I think that's important. But during an exam, an essay exam, again, I was on the front row and I took the exam. At the end of the test time, I handed it in. But when I received the result was a grade of F. And so I decided, I've been told that things like this will happen. So I went to speak with the instructor, who looked at the test, and my question was, could you tell me what was wrong with this exam? And the reply was, nothing. In fact, it's well done. However, this instructor said, I don't believe that you can do this quality work. And that was, upon protesting, that was my first exposure to what came to be known as academic freedom. That was the reason I was given for not being able to redress that particular issue.
Oh, in fact, you protested it, and the university just said, this professor has the right to grade an essay exam any way he wants to. And you sat in the front row. He watched you write the exam.
Yes.
And he said, you're not capable of writing the words that came out of your pen.
Correct. In fact, during our conversation, which again was very direct and forthright, I was asked definitions of words that I had used in the essay exam, and I was able to respond to that. Nevertheless, that instructor's view was maintained.
And so by the time you finished that course, your grade would have been?
An F.
An F. Okay. So that the training, unfortunately, you received in your high school turned out to be really useful.
Yes, very useful. I think under other circumstances, I would have been very upset to the extent that I would have left the university.
But you saw it through, graduated anyway.
Yes.
Got accepted at the University of Illinois for graduate school, and then, when you came here, were hired as an associate professor. Tell me that it was easier when you got here.
Well, I was hired as an assistant professor and had to go through the process of tenure review. And I managed to negotiate that successfully. It was interesting to me that in some ways I was in a subtle war. In this sense, some of my professors at the time said, did you graduate from one of those southern religious schools? And I would say no. Well, where did you graduate from? And I said, Purdue University. And they would say, oh, a Big Ten school. And I would say, yes. And it turns out that in some instances, this perception created a framework for the way my work was evaluated. I did not get a failing grade. I was able to maintain, I think, high academic standards. But the fact that that perception existed was bothersome.
Mm-hmm. Would just be an irritation all the time. And didn't you mention that one of your colleagues, when he found out you went to Purdue, asked, did you go?
Yes, the following, another question that followed that revelation was, oh, well, you were an athlete, right? No. I went strictly on an academic basis. But that was, again, another perception that the only way you could attend the university like that was to have great athletic skill. I was an athlete in high school, but I did not go to college based on athletic skill.
You went on your brain, which is also a muscle, and one that you were able to apply. All right. Now, in your academic career, you published book chapters and journal articles. Did these earn you the respect of your peers?
To some extent, yes, but I was struck by a comment based on a manuscript that I had written, and the comment from a colleague was, this is well written, not this is well written. There is a slight difference there, and again, it supported the perception that had come from time to time at an earlier point.
That, so you're saying the way people say things can really make a difference. And I
yes.
think the difference that I heard in your voice was a note of surprise?
A note of surprise, yes.
Rather than a note of compliment.
Yes.